Do you really know what's up? Have you seen the Anunnaki stage pass or what? Swerve, turn it up, say that's the cup. We stay calm, cause they cool it up. Alright, Tron's in the mic, you know you have to scope this. At one with the universe, so the flow hits. Splash for the market, with the beats is float this. Blast this for the hyper knives, taking soul trips. Roll this, herb so we can toast this. My niggas come around the block, with the ferocious. No shit, play the remix, so this is no hits. Don't forget, I'm Max V, digital blitz. Spaceships, flying the skyline, flow like this. Hovering, dance floors with a strobe light switch. The time, space, continue, no, some slight skips. And now come 46, so we're flying this. Flying right past us, and up them cliffs. They're going towards settings, baby, inside shifts. And looking like some of those Voltron clips, they come together and form a brothership. I never heard a beat so hit, a beat that's from an Anunnaki spaceship, accompanied by two silver discs, crashing with the Zeta Reticulant over Arizona, doing atmosphere skips, so you can look up and have a paradigm shift. Listen to me flow, a galactic. You better take that trip. Remember this, you can't fist fight with the sun. You step up, mass feats and the grace of the crumbs. Believe me, son, Flo J is the one to win the war. Before the first battle's begun, rhyme similar to hydrogen, bomb blast. Where chemicals react fast, everything within 50 miles reduced to ash. But before the shock will hit, see, it's blinded by the flash. To make a dream succeed, I risk G's. Bangkok, Switzerland, call that Swiss cheese. Check how words flow so swift. Z's tightest rhyme that I wrote in centuries. They cross the Red Sea, dimension V. Looking up at the same crash that was sent to me. Whatever happens on Earth is meant to be. Everybody's gonna find out eventually. But most will look up in disbelief. I never seen a spacecraft hover over a street, let alone the light beam from the Palladium fleet. It only has to blink once to wipe out Miami Beach. It's a Saturn trip. I tell you each, they use my net, no need for speech. I puff herb like cheats. I learn as I teach it through my songs. Infinite universes reach. Do you really know what's up? Have you seen the Anunnaki spacecrafts or what?
Everyone, this is Mary Sutherland, your host for BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio, www.burlingtonnews.net. We have a great show in store for you tonight. We are interviewing John Palooka from Oliphant, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania alone steams with stories of Bigfoot, UFO sightings, abductions, the paranormal. And Oliphant is one of the most fantastic stories that I think is out there. We will hear from John after this short break. In my new book, Living in the Light, I teach how to tap into the power of our higher selves and live each day with a greater sense of peace and fulfillment. My book teaches you how to find your place in the world and to accept your divine heritage, to appreciate what has been given to us, and to throw away guilt feelings of inferiority. You will find that miracles are achievable and the real magic is all around us. In its pages, you will learn the truth about the evolution of mankind and the real definition of religion. It teaches you of the five deadly passions that control your life and others around you, helping you then to shed false labels and take control of your life. Living the Light explains electrical energy, or what some call the forces of light, and how to harness its power through the divine laws of manifestation to create miracles. It explains synchronicity and how it works for you, as well as intuition. Learn how to be in the flow of life. This book has it all. Ancient and alien races, critical mass theory, what are auras and how to see them, deja vu, penetrating the vibrational veil that separates the dimensional realms, the power of the word I am, existing in other dimensions, understanding anger, the book of life, expanding your conscious awareness through the connection of one. It explains how we carry the DNA of God, the laws of karma. My book explains why we go through the trauma and the difficult times, what the astral light is, what is life after death, explanations to such things as come again in the flesh or mansions with many rooms. It shows us how our brain is hardwired to God, left brain, right brain activities, past lives, astral projections, parallel universes, the end times and the new age. It even goes into government cover-ups pertaining to projects such as the Philadelphia experiment and remote viewing experiments. This book has something for everyone. After reading it, you will never see the world the same way. For those seeking knowledge and enlightenment, it is a must-read. You can purchase my new book at www.livinginthelightms.com. Living in the Light is only $12.95 plus shipping and handling. This is Mary Sutherland, the author of Living in the Light and host of BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio, asking you to purchase your copy today and begin your new life. BUFO, Paranormal, and UFO Radio. Tonight we're speaking with John Peruca from Oliphant, Pennsylvania. Am I correct in that, John? That
yeah,
you
Oliphant.
Live in Oliphant?
I say Oliphant.
Oliphant. That's yeah. O-L-Y-T-H-A-N-T. Yeah. And you can find the website on www.truthtrek.net/Oliphant. That would be truth, truthtrek.net/Oliphant, OLYPHANT, and then it's slash, well, I guess that's it, just slash, because there's actually two pages you can go to on it. And John, how would a person get a hold of you if they have any questions? Are you available?
Well, not really.
You're not really?
I got a phone, but I'm never around, you know. It's hard to get me.
Okay, well, then they can contact us.
Well,
and
you can write to me.
Yeah.
That's the best. Post Office Box 166, Oliphant, Pennsylvania, 18447.
Jonathan Gray, an archaeologist out of New Mexico, is very interested in getting in touch with you and hear what you have to say. So,
Frank told me that.
Yeah, so the information, with your permission, that I get from you, I'll be resending to...
you can make a copy. I'm going to send it to you next week.
Yeah.
It's 150 pages, so parts of it's mathematical and scientific, you know, and it's some parts are complicated, people told me.
Yeah. Well... let's explain a little bit about the secret of Oliphant. The website starts out, the story that is about to unfold was sent to me by a remarkable man by the name of John J. Peruca. Over the past several years, he has spent much of his life studying the great cities of Egypt, the pyramids, and the mysteries surrounding the origins of life. How is it that a small borough in Pennsylvania would also possess the same hidden mysteries as its Egyptian counterpart? How do pyramids, triangles, and the numerical equivalents fit into our very being? What you are about to, it says read, but we're going to say what you're about to hear, may be controversial, but may also hold the secret to life itself. You know, you have such a fascinating story, John, to tell. And when you first contacted me, I was so excited because our work kind of parallels each other. And the secrets of life, you say.
Yeah. Well, Oliphant means, people lived here, they never bothered looking it up what Oliphant means. I divide it into two syllables, O-L-Y, as in high, lofty, all knowledge in the universe is here. As in Mount Olympus, the secret home of the gods.
Oh yeah, that's right. It would be out of Olympus, wouldn't it? The root. Yeah.
Sometimes I have a hard time pronouncing any that word. And Phant is a phantom ghost spirit. So with the definition like that, it can't be just an ordinary town.
No.
It means secret of the gods. That's what it means.
Yeah.
All the secrets of the universe are an elephant.
Well, Jonathan Gray, the architect or the archaeologist out of New Zealand, I was talking to him about Oliphant, and he said that there is another place called Oliphant right off the Nile.
No, it's called. I was looking for something like that, you know.
Yeah.
If there's a town named Oliphant in Egypt, it's Elephantine. It's a little different.
Uh huh.
But know what's important about it? I found out, if I remember, it was a scientific research island. The scientific research center on an island, in the Nile, somewhere around the Nile.
Really?
So, yeah, but that's what Oliphant really is, like scientific research, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, actually, scientific research is studying the mysteries, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they do, really.
Yeah.
It's just, I found out it was an island devoted to scientific research.
And is that island still, I mean, is the research still going on, or is that ancient?
Oh, I know. I think it's still going on, but I'm not sure. You know, that was a long time ago I read that.
Yeah, because
Elephantine. They call it Elephantine.
Yeah, but this is off the Nile someplace, and it's an ancient name.
Well, maybe it was back too. I don't know, really.
Yeah. Well, we'll get with Jonathan Gray on that, or you can,
yeah,
or
maybe
I can.
He knows more than I do about that.
Yeah.
But I've seen it. I've seen that name, Elephantine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is. He says it's Oliphant, so
well,
I don't know. But now. Now, Oliphant is actually located only several miles from Frank Scazzoletti's UFO sightings, right?
Yeah, it's only about 2 miles south of Jessup. He lives in Jessup. I go up there a lot. I walk up there. And it's Oliphant 6 miles north of Scranton, along the Lackawanna River.
And it's on the northeast Pennsylvania area?
Yeah, northeastern Pennsylvania.
And now, there's you believe that there's interdimensional doorways there?
Yeah, that's what we discovered. The town is designed after ancient Egypt, you know? And I'll, if you want me to give you like how I found it, but anyway, we discovered a Sphinx and Oliphant 5 miles long, and the church is from Orion, and nobody knew about it. Like the Orion constellation, 7 stars that you can see with the naked eye.
Right.
And 7 of the churches have the same pattern as Orion, and they also form another pattern called the pyramidal creation pattern, which I named. And that's how I discovered it. And there's a lot of things about Oliphant. And so I asked myself a question, why would they do this? And nobody knew about it, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It was completely foreign to everybody. And is it for artistic purposes or something like that, or decoration? No. We figured there's something like physical here.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you want to tell me I'll tell you a long story how I got it.
Oh, please do.
Well, you want me to start with the pyramids, like how I discovered the pyramids?
Sure, sure.
Okay, this is way back in 1976. I noticed I was reading a newspaper, and a woman in man's body, I noticed there's too many triangles in their bodies, you know? And so it was a Friday night way back in 76, and the next day I decided to walk through the woods I was walking through the woods here in Oliphant, and I came along a long trail, and there was a perfect Christmas tree, like an evergreen tree.
Yeah.
And it was a pyramid. Perfect tree, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I, then I, on a bus, I took to Scranton. I noticed that the mountains were around here flat. But a mountain years ago, 10,000 years ago or so, was a volcano. A volcano is a pyramid.
Right.
And then a blade of grass flashed into my mind.
Uh-huh.
It's a triangle. Then I started thinking, there's too many triangles in nature. I was starting to leaves, you know, and the birds and the fish, they're loaded with triangles, but they're distorted. You have to use your imagination.
Right.
See?
So it's almost like you were receiving some sort of a revelation on
this. Yeah, it's like a
force was talking to you in your head.
That's right,
you know,
yeah.
Flashes of imageries and telling you, pointing out things, notice this, notice that, look
yeah.
for the triangles.
That's exactly
John.
What happened.
Yeah, okay.
So, then later on, that day I noticed that everything was made out of pyramids. And about 2 years later, I also had an apartment in Greenpoint where my mother was, she could take care of herself. I used to go there like every month or so, you know, for a week or so, every 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And I was walking down the avenue, and then I was studying science. I was studying science all my life, off and on. I used to be an assistant chemist years ago, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was always interested in science. I was always inventing theories. Even when I was a kid, I was inventing theories in the high school. And so I was walking down the avenue in the Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and I was thinking about matter, you know what I mean? What is matter, you know what I mean? I knew it was a pyramid. Pyramids are involved, you know.
Right.
Then I was thinking about light, and all of a sudden light, like you say, flashed into my mind.
Uh-huh.
So I knew what matter was then, right then and there. That matter is condensed light organized into pyramids.
Uh-huh.
With beams, everything's made from pyramids of light.
Uh-huh.
So the next thing, I had to find like a mechanism. This, you know, how does it work, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I was studying like radio television on my own. In the Army, I was in electronics. So I looked around through different mechanisms. And I remember that when Newton... he passed the light through a prism. He broke it up into colors, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then he had three discs. This is one of the first experiments we had in high school, or demonstrations, that the teacher told us. That when you take these three discs of red, blue, and green light, they can form any colors in the rainbow. And that's
right.
The basis of color television.
Uh-huh.
See, I noticed that. So it's fresh. I was going through my book, and it came to that three circles. It was about television. It came to three circles of light. That's what I was looking for. And in the middle was a pyramid or triangle. So I figured I knew what I had something, you know what I mean?
Right.
And let's see. Later on, I discovered that if you take... I knew that everything was made out of double pyramids.
Uh-huh.
See? So I figured I was fooling around with it. And I took another pyramid with three circles, and I joined together. And then I shaded in the pyramids, you know, pyramids in the, when they form pyramids.
Yeah.
And they come to 12 pyramids, and a man formed. A little man formed, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I was astonished, you know what I mean? Then I put them into a circle. I created another six pyramids. I figured the forces have to be equal, you know?
Uh-huh.
One force has to balance another force.
Right, exactly.
I created another two pyramids with six circles, and that was your soul. And I put them in a circle, inside a sphere, and that's how I found out that everything's made from pyramids of light. That's how God created us, out of light.
Now, okay, now on that website, www.truthtrek.net/Oliphant, if they go there and then click on next page.
Yeah, part two.
Yeah, part two. There is an actual diagram of what John is speaking of, how the circles and the pyramids work together, or the circles and triangles work together to create man. It's very interesting, the soul and man.
And how the soul functions, how it works.
Yeah, how the soul
it works
functions.
Like a television thing.
You
combine holography and the TV, color television, the principles of color television, holography, and that's how God created us.
Well, you know, are you familiar at all, John, with the work of Robert Michael Kopke? K-O-P-K-E?
K-O-P-E.
Yeah, he put out this fantastic book. It's called The Great Puzzle Solved, Nature's Grand Unifying Force Discovered. Exactly how it is, all matter and, or he's saying that everything is matter and energy. And he uses exactly the same thing as you do. He uses the pyramids, the squares, and the circles to prove this theory that everything is basically energy and matter. Energy condensed and matter is condensed energy, right?
It's a light.
Yeah.
It's got to be a light.
Yeah.
Well,
what happened with you is there had to have been some sort of a guardian angel or something there that was actually, as you're walking and asking questions, whatever is answering and showing you all these images in your mind.
Well, everything's planned. All the great events in history are planned.
Yeah.
They control our minds somehow. That's why, like when Alexander Graham Bell did the telephone, the Elisha Gray came on the same day with the telephone.
Yeah. What is that? Collective, working through the collective consciousness, right?
Yeah, there's so many instances. And like, here's another one. Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Right.
She claims she didn't write it.
Yeah.
It's so, like somebody was telling her what to write. She was like a dictator, rather, a stenographer.
Well, with my book, Living in the Light,
yeah,
I pretty much wrote mine through my dreams. You know, I'd wake up, you know, I'd dream that night, I'd wake up. I had no idea from one paragraph to the next what I was going to write, but it was just like I'd go to sleep. The next day it was almost like automatic writing. I'd know when I'd go to the library, it was just like I would be guided to grab the books for the research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had some strange things with the supernatural.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's one right now. You just mentioned one. What's the guy's name again?
Robert Michael Kopke.
How do you spell it?
K-O-P-K-E. Robert Michael.
Okay, my mother's name is Kopostansky.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you know what? Copernicus didn't spell his name with C. He spelled it with a K.
Yeah.
Yeah,
see,
my middle name, my name.
See, with our listeners, you know, what this is synchronicity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you went into a search and wrote synchronicity, you'd be surprised of how the force actually guides you. And the force gives you hints to let you know if they're like guideposts along your pathway to let you know if when you're on the right path. And like what John's talking about, the connection between the Kopke and his names, that is like a guidepost to let him know that he's on the right path.
Well, look at my, Mary, look at my last name.
Yeah.
Peru.
Uh-huh.
And K-A. My friend, a research director, it's a research director, he found that out. K-A is a different term, something mean with the soul that lives forever.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah. Yeah, watching for signs is like actually a psychic ability. You know, some people they automatic write. There's other people that have the gift of being able to see into the future, and then there's other people that have a gift called sign watching. And it's apparently that is one of your gifts, is being able to see the signs.
Yeah. No,
and understand what they mean, and I have that too. I do that myself, and it's so fun to be able to watch and see how synchronicity unfolds through these various signs. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I knew that everything. The man was made out of the four pyramids in three circles each. Then I was studying the quark theory. You know what I mean? And these little circles, they're quarks. They have different. I don't know. So many different types of quartz, flavored type, you know, and
quartz. Quartz as
Q U A R K S.
Oh, quarks. Okay.
Yeah, they're the basis of creation.
Uh huh.
And when you go to
now, quarks is what is that protons of some sort?
No, the proton is made up of three quarks. See, and the neutron also three quarks.
So it's always threes.
Yeah, now there's another theory. You break down the quarks, they become strings.
Yeah, then you're into your string theory,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but my theory agrees with a lot of them. You know what I mean? There's a lot of similar things, properties in these, all these spheres. They're all connected somehow, you know?
Yeah.
And the string must form a pyramid, though.
Okay.
That's according to my theory, a triangle or a pyramid.
So, first of all, you have your quarks, and the quarks are made up out of protons, but they're made...
You know, the protons...
Protons are made out of quarks.
Yeah, and the neutrons, too. They're made out of quarks.
And they're made out of three quarks?
Yeah. And that leads into the string. Yeah, but
and the string has to make up a pyramid.
The string theory is very complicated. And
yeah.
Einstein was not looking for that. He was looking for a simple theory like mine.
Mm-hmm.
Simple geometric theory. Well, anyway, I noticed also that it was like the Holy Trinity. The Christians, I'm a Christian, we worship the Holy Trinity. You got the three circles, the three quarks, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I noticed that, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And that's when you go to a Catholic church, you get a wafer. You're actually given the body of God. It agrees with that theory, with their beliefs.
Yeah.
Catholic beliefs.
So the three represents the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. And Christ said, I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. Now you take two of those circles, you'll see when I send it to you. It proves that he's right. Because they overlap. The circles overlap, you know, or the quarks overlap.
Okay, like on this picture, and like listeners, you really do have to go to www.truthtrack.net /Oliphant/Oliphant2 to see what we're talking about. But there's a diagram there, and there's one great big diamond, all right? And then I would imagine that diamond is actually like a right side up pyramid and an upside down pyramid coming together in the form of a diamond. And then in the middle of that diamond we have six circles. So that would be two threes. Two circles or two pairs of three circles holding or of threes. And then in that there is what would you call them? Diamonds again. There's one, two, three, four, five, six diamonds.
Well, there's 12. I call them pyramids or triangles.
Uh-huh.
And that's why Christ chose the 12 disciples. Because we're made out of 12.
Oh, disciples. Yeah. These diamonds, there's six diamonds, but these six diamonds would make, if you did them as pyramids, would be upright side, or pyramids, and then inverted pyramids of 12, right?
Yeah,
so the 12 period. And which would make the 12 disciples. And the 12 disciples represents man?
Yeah.
And what are the circles? We have the we got the big pyramid, then we have the circles, and then we have the black pyramids inside, right?
Yeah, and there's one pyramid, a white pyramid, and the black. It alternates, I think.
And oh, yeah, I see that now.
One's black. And Christ said in the Bible, he told us how we were created. I don't want to get into that now, right now.
Uh-huh.
But I'll continue with my story, how I discovered the elephant.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now,
sorry.
Okay, now, you know, that was important. The three, you got three circles, and it's inside a triangle, right?
Right.
And I call that the part of the pyramidal creation pattern. So
uh-huh.
One day, I'm on a roof here, during the summer, I was reading my paper on the roof. I was just about to go down, and I noticed, I'm surrounded by churches. I've been here 18 years, you know?
Right.
Before that, when I discovered this. But I just noticed that there's four churches. Three of them have circles or domes as a roof, and the one in the middle has a pyramid. So I was amazed, you know? I couldn't believe it, that I discovered the pattern, and
uh-huh.
yet the pattern's within the churches.
Uh-huh. The pattern's within the churches.
Yeah, it's on the roofs.
Uh-huh.
See, there's a lot of churches in Oliphant, but three of them that surround me, there's four of them surround me. Like St. Pat's has a dome, that'd be circle number one, or court number one, and All Saints, which owns this building, is also a dome, that has, that's circle number two, and St. Cyril's down the block, is also a dome, it's a circle number three, and in the middle, not exactly, is the Holy Ghost Church, it's a pyramid. So I was amazed, so I called my friend, and he used to be a research engineer for Bell Labs, and he told him to come down and check this, you know? And I told him about my pyramid theory by then, you know? So he came down, he couldn't believe it himself. So he gave me some good advice. He says, go around to all the, like the libraries and the museums and historical societies and find out all you can about the elephant. So that's what I did. And about 2 weeks later, I called him up. I said, Frank, I discovered a Sphinx and elephant. And he couldn't believe it, a sphinx. He says, where is it? I said, it's 5 miles long. And I says, wait, I'll get the librarian to check it out. And he did. It's the burr itself. The burr is designed in the shape of a sphinx, and nobody knew it.
And burr as B-O-U?
Yeah, that's on the first part of
Yeah, G-H.
Yeah, and nobody knew it. We found out. Wait, I got to take a little drink of water.
Sure, no problem. Anyhow, we're speaking with John Peruca on the mysteries of Oliphant in Pennsylvania. And he has discovered an ancient civilization there and energy points that lead into multi-dimensional doorways. And as we have detected, there's been a lot of UFO sightings there and paranormal activity. And through John's help, we're trying to uncover the truths of Oliphant. And we're talking about basically what it is it's unified force field, which of course is and John's basically talking about atomic theories of how this works. Are you there yet, John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the Sphinx, I discovered the Sphinx, you know, and the face of the pharaoh is actually shaped by the Lackawanna River, see? And the other part is like the monument part, it was shaped by man, so it's like a work between God and man.
Uh-huh.
The form of it. And now,
so it mirrors itself.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Like how life does spirituality / physical.
Yeah, and nobody knew about it, but later on in my research, I heard there was a rumor about that stuff. 50 years ago, one of the teachers in one of the high schools told me that when he was a kid, there was a rumor about that. Somebody must have noticed the Sphinx and the coal dumps, the pyramids, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he put two together, but it died out because it's all planned. And they had to wait for me to come and explain everything, you know? It's
yeah.
Just more than that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was somebody noticed it, maybe like the guys who laid it out, the burr itself, you know? Somebody noticed it was a giant sphinx, and but it never got anywhere. You know what I mean? Until I came along, and I was here like 20 years before I discovered this thing. But I knew the secret of the pyramids and how God created us at the time. You know.
Well, now there is a biblical saying about that, isn't there? For now is the hour, for now is the time, and the secrets of God will be revealed unto his people.
Yeah, it's
in the book of Revelation.
It's one of the King James versions, but not all the same.
Yeah.
The Bibles, you know, they disagree. Not disagree, but they have different versions, you know.
Well, the Indian legend goes, at the very end of the millennium, great knowledge and wisdom will be given to the peoples of the earth.
Yes.
And apparently the time was right, and they used you to reintroduce the secrets of
yeah.
Oliphant.
Yeah, it's the secrets of God in this town. So let's say I got the pyramid, and then I discovered that the churches form Orion, and nobody knew about that. And
there's a map of how the churches do form Orion.
Yeah, that's a satellite photograph too.
And that is on www.truthtrek.net/Oliphant/Oliphant1.
Yeah. So, then I discovered other things about the definition of Oliphant, which I explained, you know.
Well, you said that the centermost position is held by the Jewish temple.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a little unusual. I'll get into that. But, because, know why? Oh, I don't want, okay, I won't tell you right now.
Okay.
But then I discovered the definition of Oliphant, and I found out there was exactly two pyramids high. By the churches, the elevation of Oliphant is 960 feet, and if the Great Pyramid of Egypt is considered to be 480 feet high. Now, there's a little dispute about that, you know? Some
yeah.
people say 481, some people say 400. I'm going to stick to 480.
Great.
Because when I was a kid, I used to always listen on the radio. Every 10 years, they would estimate the height of Mount Everest, which is a pyramid, you know? It's a good pyramid to see. But every 10 years, it would grow. Couple of feet or a couple of inches, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you consider thousands of years about the pyramids, like 5,000 years, maybe older. They grew a couple of feet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why one editor was arguing with me, Jack, but he didn't understand that. It has to be 480, know why?
Why?
Because the Pythagoreans, you know, the Pythagoreans, who invented those numbers.
Right, right.
480 has like, I don't know, 25 factors. I don't know how many factors, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like, sacred geometry.
Yeah, 10 times 48, 48 by, 480 by 1, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And 240 by 2. There's so many factors at 480. It's 480.3 is not a good number.
No.
See, but it had to be 480 feet high when they actually invented it.
Right.
When they constructed it.
Well, that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, it's a round number with a lot of factors. So, and then I discovered that.
And 6 times 8 is 48.
Yeah, there's so many
factors. So you're dealing with threes and twos.
Yeah. So I discovered that, and well, that's basically how I discovered the secret of Oliphant, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And now you want to go into other, like, how we found the door?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. I was, this is again about...
Well, just before we get into that, okay, I heard something fantastic. I think it was from you, that not only were you aware of this, but there was some... There was a famous, you have a famous landowner there that also knew about it and went and purchased this area, and that was Houdini's wife, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was going to get into that later on.
Oh, okay.
You want to hear about that?
Yeah, well, it's up to you, however you want to do it.
I want to tell you about the door.
Okay.
Okay, here's how I discovered the door. I was on the roof reading my papers, and... I know it was in July, you know, and a light come from the east, way up in the, you know, with a jet plane fly, very high up.
A beam of light or what
type
of light?
No, it was like an airplane, but it wasn't an airplane. I knew that, you know. It was just like a small light, you know, way up there, like a bright in the star. See, but it wasn't a meteor, because I've seen millions of those. They're very fast, you know, and it wasn't an airplane.
Was it like an orb? A sphere?
Yeah, it was something like that, maybe. It was a light traveling from east to west, but it was something different about it. I noticed I was watching for about 10 seconds, you know, 15 seconds. And when it got it over Oliphant, it exploded. I was amazed, you know what I mean? The thing exploded into a light, the gigantic flash of light.
So it exploded into a giant flash of light.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, wait, I got to take a drink again.
Okay.
I don't speak too good because my lips stick together. I got to keep them wet.
That's okay. I got my coffee sitting right here next to me for the same reason.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't know what it was. And I was going to call up the guy in Washington, you know. But I actually did, but I didn't make it official because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a meteor, and it wasn't an airplane, and it exploded into a gigantic flash of light. So I forgot about it. Disappeared from my mind. And so about 2 months later, this is September, I decided to read the book again about the Andreessen affair. Betty Andreessen?
Yeah.
And I read that once before, and I knew that she mentioned my pyramid theory.
I tried finding her on the website, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I tried to find her too, you know. I tried to locate her. I located the guy who wrote the book, but he won't answer me.
Yeah.
So anyway, she mentioned my pyramid theory, the alien beings. He said to her, Betty, this is very important. 3-4, 3-4. That's the three circles of the four pyramids. I knew that was my theory, you know?
Uh-huh.
It was like meant for me or something. So anyway, she said on that same page, there's a door, and it's about to be open. But nothing, you know, nothing clicked in my mind. Just from the pyramid theory and the door. I didn't know anything about doors, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, but then the next page...
Did she say interdimensional door, or did she just say door?
Just said door, and
okay.
It's about to be open. And the guy and the alien being says, scientists should bury the past. And I was wondering what that. I figured that out too. But she says, this door is about to be opened. So, but nothing clicked in my mind. And the next page, this is the fun. She mentioned she was in the present, you know, and she said she sees an anchor in this town. And that's what Oliver's got an anchor.
Uh-huh.
Into the town, and that's when it flashed in the mind. Then I remember the. The light going through the door, the light, you know what I mean, going in the sky?
Uh-huh.
Then I remembered, it has to be the door has to be an Oliphant. And it was like confirmed later on, maybe a year later, when I was listening to Art Bell, you know?
Yeah.
And they had this woman on there, and she was an expert in these doors.
Uh-huh.
And she says, it's like when the plates on the earth, plates of the continents made out of continental drift theory.
Yeah, Tectonic plates.
When they collide, they give off energy, light, you know what I mean? And she says the same thing happens in the doors when the UFOs go through the doors. There's a light given off.
Oh, really?
See, that sort of confirmed with my theory, you know?
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't know that, but I knew that when Betty and Dreesen mentioned the anchor, I knew it had to be Oliphant. See? And that's how I discovered the
huh.
And I'll send it to you, you know? Everything I claim, I got proof.
Yeah.
I got evidence.
Yeah.
I was trained with science, so I don't make claims without any some kind of evidence.
Right.
Okay, now, let's see, now you want to go back to the churches, and in the middle is a Jewish temple.
Yeah.
Okay. In the middle of Orion pattern, the seven churches, is a Jewish temple. And guess who owns a Jewish temple?
Who?
A woman named Mrs. Houdini.
Yeah.
So Houdini's connected. She owns the Houdini. There's a Houdini Museum in North Scranton. It's about 2.5 miles from here. And not only she owns the Houdini Museum, she owns a Jewish temple in Oliphant. She lives right next door.
Yeah.
And Houdini's all over Oliphant.
Yeah.
So we...
Well, see, there you have your magic. And they had to have known. They had to have known about this area. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bought that temple or, you know, all the other...
Here.
Huh?
They were guided here.
Sure.
Yeah, they didn't... They just, you know, they were... It says the great... And this is not an ordinary door. I was talking to my friend. Where I said the door in Kecksburg, there might be one there, you know. My theory claims there's a lot of doors. Because you got the Black Pyramid and the White... I call it the, you know, like Big Bang, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The door, we go through the Black Pyramid, because that sucks in. And there's a lot of them. But this is, in Oliphant's a great door. It's the door to God.
Would explain all the UFO sightings in that area.
Yeah.
And your Bigfoot and all the other strange things that's occurring over there in Pennsylvania in that area, right?
Yeah, but I say separate from Kecksburg.
Yeah.
See, this is a great door. The other doors, not doors to God. She talked to God, and he says, you're going to know the secrets of the universe soon, you know what I mean? And on her way back, she mentioned the anchor. And she mentioned my pyramid theory, and she mentioned the anchor.
Yeah.
But this is, I think they don't use it that much. Because not everybody, they don't always take these abductees, you know, all the way.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. They take them to, you know, a lower kingdom, a lower level, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
They took her all the way to talk to God. So, okay, in the middle of the Orion pattern, it's a Jewish temple, and Mrs. Houdini, her name's not Mrs. Houdini, but that's her, like, nickname, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because she keeps Houdini's name alive in the museum.
So she's a family line of Houdini's, though?
No, she's a famous magician.
Oh, okay.
And she does a lot of tricks, Houdini's tricks.
Uh-huh.
And she probably keeps Houdini's memorabilia and his tricks in the Jewish temple in Oliphant.
Uh-huh.
See? So we decided to study the life of Houdini.
Uh-huh.
And now we connected Houdini to Oliphant, and we also found out Houdini was buried in an Egyptian coffin.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. His last trick had to do with Egypt. Something
uh-huh.
like being buried alive in the sand, you know? I don't know how long.
Yeah.
But he was buried, and he had a trouble with his appendicitis, and somebody punched him in the stomach, and he died of appendicitis.
Yeah, wasn't that in a tank of water or something?
No.
It wasn't?
His last trick was... being buried in the sand. That was in the movie. I saw the movie.
Well, the adepts used to do that. Or, well, they still do. They bury themselves, and apparently they can stay buried for months. You know.
Well,
and then be brought back.
Yeah. They have so many tricks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was buried in Egyptian coffins, and Houdini's all over Oliphant. We connected him when he discovered him in the.
Did you ever check out the name behind the meaning behind Houdini?
Yeah. I was just about to say that.
Okay.
We connected him to the Orion pattern, you know, because the Jewish temple is at the center of the Orion pattern. Okay, now there's a pizza bar on River Street, and that's the Eye of the Sphinx, and that building is the John Weiss building, and Houdini's real name was Eric Weiss.
Uh huh.
So we connect them to the, and I'll send you the pictures, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'll show you the pictures. We connect them to the Jewish temple, that's the Orion pattern, and then we connect them to the Eye of the Sphinx.
Huh.
And Houdini, we discovered that Houdini was involved with the number 13.
How?
Houdini was involved with the number 13.
How so?
Well, look it. He lived 52 years. He was born in 1874. And he died in 1926. That's 52 years, and it's 4 times 13 is 52. It's like a deck of cards.
Yeah, right.
See? So his life is divided into four different sections of 13. And he died on Halloween, the 31st, October 31st, which is the reverse of 13. He died at 1:26 in the afternoon, and 1 o'clock in the afternoon is 13 hour, and 26 is 2/13.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and
good job.
And here's what we got. If you take A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, combined in a numerical system without the alphabet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jewish people do that.
Yeah, the Phoenicians learned it, or Jewish, I believe, learned it from the Phoenicians.
Yeah. 26 equals God.
Yeah, right.
See?
And 26 so is 2/13.
Yeah, twice is 2/13. That's why the Jewish people have their bar mitzvahs at 13. The kids have their bar mitzvahs at 13, you know what I mean? And the fire designation for Olifin is 26.
2/13.
Yeah. And Mrs. Houdini, she lives at 229 Willow Street, you know, up the block.
Yeah.
229, that's 2 plus 2 is 4 plus 9 is 13.
Good work.
And at the Borough Hall, this is really weird. The Borough Hall is 113. And here's a weird thing. The clock on the Borough Hall is a pretty big clock.
Uh-huh.
A couple of years ago, stopped at 940. 9 and 4 is 13. It stopped for about 2 or 3 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
The Houdini's all over Oliphant.
Huh.
See, it's Houdini and God and they're all these fantastic people are over all over Oliphant.
Because they have the secrets, or they're aware of the secrets.
Yeah. And Houdini was connected with the afterlife, you know?
Yeah.
He said he's going to come back and tell us about the afterlife. And
right.
The secrets of the universe.
Well, he was totally convinced that there was an afterlife.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of them say that they hold these seances, you know what I mean? I tell them about it, they just hold one in Scranton, a seance, you know?
Uh-huh.
I told them to look at my website, and you give the people a treat, you know? It explains why you don't die.
Yeah.
But they don't do it. Nobody comes to check us out.
And why don't you die?
Because you're made out of light, pyramids of light.
And energy cannot be destroyed.
That's right. Everything's made out of light. And that's why Christ walked through the wall. And these alien beings, they walk through walls.
Oh, now that's a very interesting point. Now that that was also in that unifying force discovered with Kopke. He said that what it is the soul just it comes into another the soul is the energy, it uses the body, but when the body turns around it has to be unison with each other, but then as the body turns, the physical part rotates, after a while it's no use to that energy, so then the energy goes on to another body.
Well, that's my theory. Maybe you picked it up somehow.
Well,
my theory's been around for years.
Well, the thing is, it's a conscious collective memory, you know, and you know how that works, you know, it's synchronicity, you know, the thoughts are out there, and there's some people that are able to pick up on it, where most people can't.
Well, I explain it like this way, it's probably exactly the way I explain it, but it goes out of phase, the body accepts energy from the soul, see?
Right.
And they're in synchronized, like you said.
Yeah, thank you.
But chemicals get in there, and they act as inductances and resistances, and the synchronicity between the soul and the body gradually turns. It enables the body to turn out of synchronicity. You know what I mean?
And
it rotates.
And that's why people have ill health.
Yeah, and
it's because they're out of sync with their soul.
They're dying, more or less. You know what I mean? They're getting older. They're getting weaker. You know what I mean? Because they can't receive as much energy when they were young. You know what I mean?
It's like a plant, isn't it? Then how a plant receives the energy from the sun, and after a certain length of time, it just can't. I don't know.
Yeah.
For some reason, it just starts wilting and dying.
Yeah. Well, that's
because it can't get the energies.
Yeah. And I claim when the body, you'll see it on their website, when the body and the soul pyramids or forces, the alpha and omega forces, are 90 degrees out of phase. That's when the body dies. It can't receive enough energy to keep itself going, you know.
And the energy is life force.
Yeah, it separates from the life and it goes off, and the soul goes off into the cosmos. And that's why Christ died on the cross, because it's two forces at 90 degrees angle.
And which is symbolic,
yeah,
basically.
Symbolic. So
the cross is symbolic.
Yeah.
Of death.
Yeah.
Because it's not in unison or in sync with the soul any longer, or the life force.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm, you know, trying here to understand this. Now, okay, so if so, then basically, if you go back to all these ancient cultures, they all worship Ra, R-A, and Ra is the sun god. Basically, what that is metamorphic, or it's a metaphor for sun representing the life force, the energy.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's something.
Ra would be the energy, the life force.
Yeah. Well, here's something to figure out. I can't figure out exactly. The word pyramid has Mary in it, reversed. And the word Mary has Ra in it, reversed.
No.
Yeah.
Say that again. I want to write that down.
The word pyramid has Mary in it, reversed.
Pyramid. Pyramid.
P-Y-M-A-R-I-D. See how Mary's in there?
Oh, sure enough. It's right, yeah.
And the word Mary has Ra in it, reversed. So I don't know what it means to reverse. I don't understand.
Yeah.
See that?
Very good. I'm so impressed with how observant you are. Very good.
I got 150 pages. I can't even remember everything. I just see a lot. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I discovered it and wrote it down, you know, as time went on.
So, yeah, but now the soul does go on then.
Yeah,
you assume.
On. Yeah.
And now, okay, let's work with, you said it's like a signal. You said something about that there's life is like signals of a TV set, and how the receiver is tuned to that frequency.
Yeah, well, we basically discussed that. You know what I mean?
So that would be the synchronicity.
Yeah.
When the body is synchronized, that means that it's like a TV set and it's tuned into that channel.
Yeah, well, that explains why the soul can penetrate a wall.
That's a really important point, because you know there's you know, people are having such a difficult time with this, because we have people that are abducted. All right,
yeah.
From something. Okay, we don't know if it's an ancient civilization that has been on Earth a very long time, you know, or if it's star travelers, or you know, or if it's interdimensional, or people living in another dimension, or what's causing it. But they're leading people through walls. And now these people, I know, are very honest people. And they're not lying on what's happening to them, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, they're having a very difficult time with it, because who's going to believe it? Yeah. How can you possibly be a physically, you know, be able to walk through a wall?
Yes. Well, the wall's made out of light, and you're made out of light. And the true resonance, atomic resonance, it allows light to pass through light. See, and it's like I said, a TV signal. Say you're tuning around here, tuning channel 16. Your TV receiver is tuned into channel 16. That means the electrons in your tuning circuit are oscillating at the same frequency as their the channel 16's transmitter. They're in synchronicity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when the TV signal hits the antenna, since they're in phase with one another, it is absorbed into the antenna, and you see the picture, and you see the picture, and you hear the sound on your screen. That's reality. In other words, reality is resonance, and resonance is reality. Now, at the same time, channel 28, like around here, is another TV station. They're broadcasting their signal, but theirs is out of phase. With the electrons oscillating in your tuning circuit, in your TV receiver. So when the signal 28 sees your antenna, as far as it's concerned, the antenna doesn't exist, and it goes right through it. See?
Uh-huh.
And that's why Christ and the alien beings, they walk through walls. They're slightly out of phase with the vibrations in the wall. with the frequencies on the wall. They're out of resonance. Out of resonance means out of reality. It does, as far as they're concerned.
Words, the wall doesn't exist.
Yeah, because it's out of phase. It's like being in another dimension. And I disagree with a lot of these scientists who, like, when they say they can induce these things in the minds of people, like by giving them drugs, they can have a near-death experience.
Yeah.
You heard about that?
Yeah.
Well, they're actually putting them into another dimension. Understand?
True.
They're vibrating. When the chemicals hit their brain, that means the cells of the brain, the neurons, are vibrating at a different frequency. So they're in a different dimension.
And is that dimension is just as real?
Yeah. When they're in that dimension, it's a real thing. It's a real... We're beings of light. Everything's made out of light. It's like a...
It'd be like if another person was in another dimension and that happened to them and they ended up in our dimension.
Yeah.
It would be real.
Yeah, everything's real. Reality, I explain reality. Like I don't know if I put it on there. Greg put it on there. Reality is total electromagnetic in-phase resonant energy that a pyramidal entity receives within any particular space-time continuum or dimension. It's a total amount of electromagnetic energy that is in the resonance with you. That's what your reality is. That's why a dog...
Now, you have to explain that to a lot of people. Because they're not going to quite understand that.
Well, it depends on your reality. There's a total amount of resonant energy that you accept into your body and hits your brain cells.
Uh huh.
See.
So the brain, but it has to work with your brain cell.
That's right. Like a dog can hear frequencies we can't hear.
Right.
Now to the dog, that's his reality. He can hear those signals. We don't even notice them. You know what I mean?
Right.
With different sounds, he hears higher sounds.
Right.
But that's reality to him. That dimension. We're not in that dimension.
Uh-huh.
See, it's the total amount of resonant energy that you receive.
That your brain receives.
Yeah. It's like a television signal, like a radio. Your receiver, a television set. The total amount of energy you receive that's in a resonant with your brain cells or even the cells of your body, that's your reality.
Let's go with that theory. Okay, which I believe totally. What about dreams? Is that a reality?
That's a good one. I never thought of that.
Because from what I understand, you know, because I've read a lot of H.P. Blavatsky's work.
Yeah.
You know her. She was in the 1800s, and pretty much, you know, it's theosophy, but pretty much what it is the practice of the unified force, okay?
Well,
and she said that you have, there's a day reality and there's a sleep reality, and when you go into a dream, that reality is just as real.
That's right, she's right. It agrees with my definition. She's receiving vibrations or frequencies while she's sleeping, right?
Right.
That means it's a total amount of those vibrations. She's in, that's real to her. That's her reality right at the moment. Her body might be in this dimension, but her mind's in another. Because she's receiving...
And when that mind, or that essence of you, when you're sleeping,
yeah,
it goes into that other reality.
Yeah, you can
read, and then that reality is as solid as this reality.
That's
here.
That's right. Like my mother, she's in the nursing home now, you know?
Uh-huh.
She's 96. I used to take care of her about 12 years. And every once in a while, she sees somebody in the house.
Yeah, my husband does that all the time.
Yeah, well, that person actually exists.
Uh-huh.
It's not a dream. It's not a hallucination. That person actually exists. They're tuned into a slightly different phase. You know what I mean? It's like an onion skin. One layer of onion skin over another. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
The realities, pyramids in pyramids and spheres within spheres, just like on the onion skin. You turn the little frequencies off, you're in another dimension. And that person's real. That person exists.
And I mean, when we say real, we mean real.
That's right. It's real to you as you are now. And when you see that wall...
So, because, see, like, he sees them, I mean, all the time. And I don't see them. But
because
I mean...
Because you're not tuned into them.
Yeah.
But it's real. That's a different dimension.
Now, how is it... Is that because of the optic nerves, how they work, or and how it transmits to the brain?
That's right. There's a slightly different change of frequency. When you do that, you're changing the resonance, you're changing the reality.
And that's how come, like, when people, like with me, I can see auras, and I teach people how to see auras.
Yes.
Now, with that, what I do is I have them look through their peripheral vision, where, you know, like they go into a stare, and then look through that stare, you know, like a fixed glaze.
Yeah.
And they'll be able to pick up the aura around a person.
Yeah.
In other words, they pick up their electric or electromagnetic field.
Yeah, and they're slightly different frequency. In fact, I was thinking of, like, a person's in a coma. If they use my theory, if they can shock... A person's in a coma is like between here and there. Stuck between realities, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like a television signal. You ever see those horizontal bars on the television? Or the bars, the televisions that go up and down, vertical?
Yeah.
Well, that's... All you have to do is shock the television, change the horizontal control, you know, and it goes back to normal.
Right.
So that's right, like, these people who go into a coma, by changing the frequency, they might be able to get them out of a coma. I have an idea about that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it won't take much energy, just a little bit. They're slightly out of phase.
And in the, okay, so, like, H.P. Blavatsky used to say that, like, there was a daytime reality and nighttime, or a sleep reality. And a sleep reality was like a mini death. So whatever you experience in your sleep is basically just a mini version of what you experience as death.
Yeah.
So if she's saying that sleep is a reality and you're able to travel, then basically all death is a means of long travel, a long existence in some other realm.
Yeah. Well, your soul sticks together. It's a very real thing, you know what I mean? And it just travels out of your body.
Well, your work is, you know, is going to give a lot of help to people that suffer, what, you know, with death of lost, you know, family members.
And you reincarnate yourself. You come back. Eventually, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a good way of doing it, the way that God designed it, because you got a lot of... This is a primitive world, you know what I mean? The way I look at it.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of problems. And a lot of people, I told them they live forever. They don't want it. But as life goes on, forever, you know what I mean? Life gets better, longer, and you know, you learn to conquer diseases and everything like that. So life gets better, you know. And reincarnation? It's for the soul. It's a rest for the soul.
Yeah.
See, and then you start a new life coming back. You go up to the other world to rest and learn things. It might be punished to a certain extent, and then you come back and you'll try to learn your lessons over again.
Now, Oliphant, okay. Now, you said there is a dimensional doorway, and they're able to use this to communicate with God. Is it almost like an ark, Ark of the Covenant?
No, it's up in the sky. Remember, I told you, Betty and Teresa went through the doorway's up in the sky.
It's in the sky, though.
Yeah, it's
way not up. In Oliphant.
Well, it's above Oliphant.
It's above Oliphant.
50,000 feet, maybe.
Well, you know...
That's where I saw the light going through the door when it flashed, you know what I mean?
Well, if you could visualize, like, a UFO,
yeah.
And they say that they have, like, a beam of light that comes from the bottom of the UFO and then goes straight down to the Earth, you know. Now...
You mean into the Earth?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can do that. Change
now,
the frequencies.
So that beam, that's almost like what Oliphant has is some sort of... It's not... Just a doorway, just
yeah,
a small doorway.
You know,
it's like it extends from the sky all the way down.
No, I don't know
into
really.
Earth.
I can't say that.
Oh, okay.
All I saw was that light going through that door, that section of the sky, and exploded. How high is? I'm only guessing, really. As high as a jet plane.
Well, I'll bet you it connects somehow to Earth because otherwise they wouldn't have the temples all around there.
Yeah,
they must be able to link into it somehow.
Well,
the ancient civilizations that lived there before must have been able to link.
I never said that ancient civilizations lived there. They might have. You know, I
kind of think that they might
have. Yeah, well, this, now, the guy who directs our project, you know what I mean? He's into that. He used to be a research engineer for Bell Labs, and he's in the business, the artifact business.
Uh-huh.
And he studies, like, ancient societies. There have been ancient writings around here.
Yeah.
But as far as civilization, Egyptian civilization, Oliphant, I don't know any.
Well, we have evidence here that there was a world trade going on in the United States
tens of thousands
of years ago.
Yeah, well,
maybe even hundreds of thousands of years ago.
Yeah. That's true. There are some artifacts around here. You know,
because if you even take it back past Atlantis, there used to be the Lemurian continent.
Yeah.
And before the great catastrophes, where a lot of the continents sunk into the ocean, used to be a large landmass, and they were able to travel by foot as well as by ship, and they were going to all these various places and, you know, and trading and exchanging their cultures. And, you know, that's why we have and we have evidence that there has been ancient Egyptian civilizations here in the United States, and a lot of them on the East Coast.
Yeah, well, I'm going to send you material. It's part of my, in fact, I got some material about that. You know what I mean? How the Egyptians, the Mexicans knew the secret of the pyramids.
Yeah.
And it was in a book by Marshall. Mrs. Marshall, I don't know, I forgot her first name. About Atlantis. You know what I mean? The Atlanteans eventually became the Egyptians when Atlantis collapsed into the ocean.
Right.
They collapsed several times. The final collapse, because of the Ice Age, they could only go east and west. And maybe a little south. You know what I mean? They couldn't go too far north. And that's why all your pyramids are in your Central America and Egypt. And they eventually became the Egyptians.
Well, we have proof of Egyptians or Israelite and Egyptian Celtic, you know, up in Britain as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've read. I sent you some material about that because the Atlanteans knew the secret of the pyramids.
And there you're going with what do they call it? The viral energy, VYRL. V as in Victor. RYL. And that was like a power of the mind working with the energy points.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that, like, Oliphant, there might be a key there of how they were using these. Because they used the pyramids in order to somehow transport from one dimension into another dimension, or even from one world into another world.
Yeah.
You know? And it seems like I know that they were using this at Giza and in some of those pyramids. So I would imagine that they were probably using it in Oliphant too, because Giza also has is aligned to Orion, right?
Yeah.
And now Giza's aligned to Orion, but Oliphant is made, or it's not aligned to Orion, right?
Just the churches.
Just the churches.
Seven churches, yeah. They find there's six churches in a Jewish temple. They also run a Jewish temple, and they're all different faiths, which is unusual, you know. And they have the same pattern as Orion.
You don't know of any old cults around there, you know, even, I mean, you know, I'm not taking this to satanic or anything, but I mean, a lot of, any strange activities going on in that area. I know that Frank said that you guys were going to interview someone that had seen UFOs 18 times in their own backyard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, that's what he claims. I don't know. But Frank just saw a UFO, he told me.
Yeah.
He told you, yeah, he called up.
Yeah, and his girlfriend, his fiance, it was her first sighting.
Yeah, they said it was, and it's not too far away from that first pyramid, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where the guy lives.
Well.
He told me his cousin told me, not him. I talked to his mother, he was at home, and I was supposed to call him up, but his cousin says he saw about 70, 80, or 80 UFOs in the back by the pyramid.
70 or 80?
Yeah. He kept a journal about it. But he's, you know, got to have, he's better have photographs of him or something, or movie pictures, you know?
Isn't that bad? See,
but we haven't, you know, we haven't confirmed it yet, and we haven't interviewed him.
Well, see, the thing is, what I'm suspecting is that they have the knowledge of how this works. And so they're able to, you know, to use the doorways for traveling.
Well, that goes into, okay, first I want to tell you about this. Here's how it's hidden, the secret of it. because I was talking down by the first pyramid. There's two pyramids we discovered. Me and my Frank, and this is a different Frank, who's the research director.
Uh-huh.
We saw it from Kmart. And we knew there was a Sphinx around, so we were looking for pyramids. And the cold dumps formed the pyramids. But we didn't realize that until Kmart, the light was shining right on top of the cold dump, you know?
Uh-huh.
It formed two perfect triangles. So we knew we found a pyramid. But that's not the Great Pyramid. We later discovered the Great Pyramid in the library.
Okay, go on.
But here's how it's hidden. I was just talking to this guy who told me about his cousin seeing the UFOs.
Uh-huh.
He said, I told him, he lives on Lion Street, right next to the first pyramid.
Yeah.
I says, what does Lion Street have to do with the ancient Egypt? He didn't know. You take the letters of Lion, reverse, change them around, Lion becomes Nile.
Oh, yeah.
See? You get that. You'll see that. And
yeah.
Next street, all my life, I remember this. They make sure you remember things that you're going to use. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And things that not have no purpose, you won't use. I had this knowledge in the bar. It's called useless bar knowledge.
Yeah.
You probably had a lot. Everybody's got something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I knew that all my life, even as a kid, that Thomas Jefferson put a pyramid on a dollar bill.
Yeah, right.
So after Lion Street is Jefferson Street. See how it did it?
Yeah.
And then the next street is gravity. And gravity has to do with Newton. And Newton, in the inverse square law, theory of gravitation, and it forms an inverse. It's an inverse square law, and when you draw it out, the inverse square law, it forms a pyramid. So I know that there was a pyramid down there.
So the whole thing is coded.
Yeah.
There's a whole story there.
It's
almost like a Bible, a code. You know,
yeah,
it's
all
coded. Everything's there. All you have to do is know how to watch for the signs.
Yeah.
And
okay.
To read it. You know something else I noticed?
What?
You said that one pyramid was made out of, it was a coal dump, right?
They're all coal dumps, actually.
And isn't coal carbon?
Yeah.
And isn't that what man is made out of?
Yeah, well, here's the secret of 666.
66?
Yeah, I'll tell you the secret.
Okay.
And it was confirmed, too. Like these fundamentalists, they say the 666 stands for the Antichrist. It doesn't. As usual, they're wrong.
Yeah, of course.
God, Christ, to prove he's God, in the book of Revelations, it's the last book of Revelations, the last book of the Bible, he took this being called John, see? And to prove he's God, one of the ways you could do it is to take him into the future and show him things in the future. And one of the ways you could do is tell how we were created.
Uh-huh.
In the book of Revelation, Christ tells us how we were created, how his Father created us, or he created us, you know what I mean? Or he had scientists do it, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And he said the number of the beast is 666. And everybody's got their mark, you know what I mean? And these other people are translating this, that we're going to get the mark of the beast. We already have the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
It's the carbon atom. Because the carbon atom is 6 electrons, 6 protons, and 6 neutrons. Every living thing on this planet must have carbon. That's the only thing I learned from organic chemistry. I still remember. See how they remember you? They make you remember the things they want you to remember.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Other things I forgot. But that's what the 666
stands for. So 666 really is what? The carbon base of man?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because the carbon atom has 6 electrons, 6 protons, 6 neutrons. Apparently, in other worlds, you could be made out of silicon or some other element, you know what I mean?
In a where?
In other worlds, you could be made out of silicon or some other element.
Uh-huh.
See, and you have a different number. But carbon, on this earth, it's carbon-based. Every living thing must have carbon. That's organic chemistry.
Oh, yeah. And that might be, yeah. And that carbon would be how our frequency is based on, huh?
Yeah.
And you know, like another race could be crystal based.
Yeah, it could be other.
And if they were crystal based, then their frequency would be so much have so much higher of a clarity or so much well what have. It have so much of a higher clarity to it, a purity.
That's right. And not only that, he told us.
And so the coal turning and then you can go into the idea of the, remember, someday the coal will, this piece of coal will be a diamond, you know, referring to man.
Yeah. Okay, and he also said that the beast is made out of 7 colors and an eighth. And that's where the Newton, that's where my colors come from. The six triangles.
Uh huh.
There's six circles from the triangles.
Uh huh.
That's your seven colors of the rainbow.
Uh-huh.
And the other one forms the black. See, it's a little different from
And that's light. And that's light frequency. And color is light frequency.
Yeah. Basically, he told us how he created. He took John. You know what he did? It's the same thing they did to Betty and Dreesen. He took John into the future to prove he's God. And he said, and he wrote in the book of Revelation, but he says to John, write what you see in your own words. And that's where the confusion in the Bible is. John didn't know what he's seeing.
Yeah.
He was like a kid.
Yeah.
And so he writes, you have to think like a kid. You have to have imagination. He writes in the book of Revelation that he saw a bird. You know what I mean? In the sky?
Yeah.
It wasn't a bird. It was an airplane.
Yeah.
And if you use your imagination, he was in an airport.
Huh. Isn't that something?
Yeah, and Christ mentioned the United States of America, Soviet Union.
Yeah.
He said he saw a woman standing on a moon with a crowns in her head, and she was pregnant, and she was being pursued by a red dragon. Well, the woman standing on the moon under the sun is the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
She's pregnant. She represents the United States of America, and you look on a map, the Soviet Union is a big red dragon. So called John, he showed him the viruses, the airplanes, the atomic bomb, the atom, how we were created, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
All the book of Revelation. And they did the same thing to Betty and Dreesen. They captured her and took her into the future, you know what I mean? Into another world. And God asked her, he says, do you understand what you see? She says, no. So if she wrote a book, it would be like the book of Revelations, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, you wouldn't understand her. But
because you're basing it on your environment.
That's right.
Your reality.
You have to explain the terms of what we know now, our technical civilization, what we know now. But it's way more advanced, you know what I mean? In a journey into the heavens.
Well, and then you also, you said that there's two electromagnetic forces in nature. And and God referred to himself as, I'm the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, the Alpha and Omega are the two electromagnetic forces of nature.
Well, the Alpha stands for A, which is pyramid. And the Omega is a sphere. That's how God created it, the pyramid inside the sphere. In fact, if you go into Catholic churches, you'll see a lot of circles with a triangle inside.
Yeah.
You see, that's the Alpha and Omega. It could mean the beginning and the end, which is true, you know, but it also stands for the pyramid and the sphere, and that's how God created us.
And then the alpha affects the electrons in the atom through resonance, and it is a clockwise force.
Yes.
And then the second force, the omega, it affects the protons through resonance, and it's the counterclock force.
Yeah, something like that. I'm still working on that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty vague, but basically it's true. If you take
and when these two forces intersect, they form an electromagnetic pyramid.
Yeah.
And that would be your gateway, your doorway to God.
Yeah.
Or you step into that force, and you've stepped into God, basically.
Yeah. One,
right?
One
force.
One is the doorway in, and one is the doorway out. See, the black and white. One form is a black pyramid, that's the doorway in. It's like a black hole. And the white pyramid, it explodes. It's like the Big Bang. You know what I mean? It's like a fan. I'm working on it now. The whole universe, I'm turning into like fans, the black holes.
One sucks in and one shoots out.
Yeah, energy goes into the fan. That's your black hole. But the other side, it explodes. It's another universe.
And what you seen up in the sky was basically it exploding.
Yeah, yeah. It went through the door. And I found that there's a theory in the.
Isn't that something?
There's a theory of physics called the eightfold theory. Eightfold theory or symmetry theory.
Yeah.
And you take the, you see how that, two pyramids, they intersect at the beginning, the top of the pyramids, the apex.
Yeah.
Here comes God. Well, you see, you can form like a figure eight. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That's
yeah.
Like the figure eight theory, and that's where the doors enter it. I'm still working on that.
Huh.
Okay, here's something like,
I just love your theories. And I actually don't even believe that they're theories. I mean, you know, actually, as far as I'm concerned,
well,
they're fact.
I give evidence of everything.
Yeah.
And you ever, when you're in high school or something, you solved a mathematical problem.
Yeah.
And then you found another way to solve it.
Yeah.
That confirms it.
Yeah.
Well, remember I said everything's made out of pyramids of light. And I didn't know this, but a couple of years later, I found that the pyramids were not called the pyramids. The travelers in, traveling in the desert, you know?
Yeah.
There was a light, because the limestone shone off the sides of the pyramids, and it reflected the light from the sun, and it was like a beacon to them. It was like a lighthouse.
Yeah.
So there's my theory, pyramids of light.
Pyramids
of light. And I
didn't
know that. Three or four years later, I did.
Pyramids of light.
Yeah. As you do your research, you know, you discover that. But that's like, it confirms one idea, confirms another.
Yeah.
See?
Great stuff.
Oh, yeah, now the last part is about the Einstein's unified field theory.
Yeah, please do.
I'm going to send you that. That's a little complicated.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, I discovered that...
Well, it's important, whether it's complicated or not. People have to realize that, you know, this whole thing, if we're going to try to uncover the truth, we can't just take the simple path. We have to, you know, we have to go through the thorns as well.
Yeah.
You know, so go with the complications.
Well, Einstein was looking for a unified field theory that he can combine all the forces of the universe into one simple equation. One tiny little equation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'll solve everything.
Right.
And now you got string theory, you got quantum theory and all. But I study that, you know, I'm not an expert. That's pretty hard to understand. But that's the same reason that Copernicus rejected the Greeks. It's too
the
common.
What?
The Copernicus rejected the Greek theory. Of
okay.
The geocentric theory of the universe,
right.
The Earth was the center of the universe, it stood still.
Yeah.
And he replaced it with the heliocentric theory, which the Earth is a planet circling the sun. Okay. Well, he didn't like that theory because it wasn't beautiful and it wasn't simple.
Yeah.
And same with Einstein. He was looking for a simple theory, but he never found it after 50 years. These other scientists, they come up with the string theory. That's not what Einstein was looking for. He was looking for a marble theory that was very simple that the average man can understand.
Right.
And so that's what I discovered. He said a simple geometric theory.
Yeah, and that's what we need.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you take the pyramids, see, I had the advantage to that. I knew it was a pyramid, you know?
Yeah.
So I was looking around the pyramids, and I saw this diagram in one of these kids' books, in high school books, about light shining in the give off radiation, and it was a pyramid. I noticed first it was a pyramid, and it was divided into little sections, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was eight sections all together. And I said, I knew everything was made out of pyramids, and little squares. So I just decided to turn the squares into pyramids, or triangles, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I found out it agreed with the atomic theory. In other words, I don't think you know much about the atomic theory, but there's electrons circling around the atom, you know what I mean?
Right.
The nucleus of the atom. And there's two electrons in the K shell, 8 in the L, there's 18 in the M, and there's 32 in the N shell.
Uh-huh.
And I counted the pyramids of triangles, I'll be damned. There was two electrons in one of the sections, 8 in the next, 18 and 32. And there was another little special feature, too. I had to account for it. And it just followed the atomic theories. And that's what he was looking for.
Yeah.
My theory, using the pyramids,
all it is unified force.
Yeah.
The new atomic theory.
Yeah, it explains it very simple.
Yeah.
You don't have to... The theory they got now, the atomic theory and the string theory and all these quantities, very complicated, you know what I mean? And now, I'm not saying
it gets overwhelming.
Yeah, but this is only the first step.
Yeah.
Scientists, better mathematicians than me, will have to figure it out, you know what I mean? But I discovered the first step. It's like Copernicus. He discovered the first step by putting the Earth circling the sun, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And later on, Kepler and Galileo, Newton, they figured out the details.
Yeah.
But he started them off. Well, this is like the first step of the unified field theory.
Well, apparently somebody's helping you, though.
Yeah.
Something is.
Oh, they helped Einstein, too. And he was supposed to give you the theory of relativity. That's it. That was his job.
Yeah, that was his job.
Yeah. Okay, here's another thing I discovered.
What's that?
This is pretty interesting.
What?
In the picture, The Last Supper, in that picture, now art historians knew... that there was symbols in that picture. There was a mystery in that picture.
Right.
Well, I figured it out for this. In that picture is how God created us. If you remember, Da Vinci painted Christ as a pyramid or a triangle. If you look at that picture.
Yeah, if there's an actual pyramid, they make it look like a V. Da Vinci made it look like a V there, but where Mary Magdalene, or they call John, is kind of leaning to the side, and you know, and she's sitting next to Christ. And if you, and in between the two, you can actually put a V, which would be an inverted pyramid.
Yeah, well, according to what I read, the historian said that Christ was portrayed as a triangle or pyramid.
Uh-huh.
And the disciples, you may have 12 pyramids, right? But
right.
They're not arranged in the picture as a 7 and 5 or 8 and 4. They're arranged in four groups of three, which is my theory.
They're arranged in four groups of three.
Yeah. And that's what the guy says, you know, the alien being says, it's very important, 3, 4, 3, 4.
Three,
that's
four.
How God created us in that picture. It agrees with my theory.
3, 4.
You got three disciples, on the left, let's say the right-hand side of Christ, you got three disciples in one section next to him, and you got three in another section, you know what I mean?
Okay.
They're arranged in four groups of three.
Okay, now, like, right in the middle of that, you're 3, 4, 3, 4, right in the middle of that, if you look at that Last Supper, you'll see a V, which would be an inverted pyramid.
Yeah. And I think they're inside
because there's
the
pyramid. Because there's a big gap right there.
Yeah. And I think in that picture, they're inside a pyramid. The room itself
is a pyramid.
And there's four sections of panels, which is eight, and it's like my unified field theory. It has eight sections. And not only that, but in the original picture, my nephew discovered this. He noticed a little triangle with three circles. That's my theory. It's on a, in other words, Da Vinci was told the secret to put how we were created, and he put a little triangle with three circles in it at the bottom of the picture. Nobody hardly ever knows this. My nephew discovered it. I didn't even know it, you know.
Well, he was Da Vinci was he was Vinci was a member of that Pierre de Cion cult or group, and they were the carriers of the secret knowledge.
Yeah.
The protectors of the secret knowledge. And he was in that group. Let's see, there's Jules Verne was in that group. Galileo was in that. So basically, they all had that knowledge. And Da Vinci tried to, because it was, you know, it was a... an act against the church, you know, if you exposed any of this, you know, so on. So he tried to demonstrate these theories in his paintings, you know, the knowledge.
Yeah, that's right, he buried in the
yeah.
Yeah.
There's a book out called the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, but I don't think it has anything to do with that, does it? I didn't read, I saw it on a bookmark, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think it'd be, you know, it'd be something good for you to read. You know,
well, I don't think he mentioned that when I discovered that.
No, he didn't.
The
but
secret to the creation of life.
No, he didn't. But yeah. The thing is, it you know, like he's got that V in there.
Yeah.
And that, you know, sometimes you can read a whole book and just get one little tiny thing out of there, mm-hmm. you know, and that works with what you're working on. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how all that works. You know, well, of course you understand because you've been, you know, you've been working with synchronicity all this time. And let's see, what else we got? Olifon is a town of incredible magic and mystery, a town frozen in time, a town trapped in that dimensional known as the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I had to describe it somewhere.
But
we went through most of the stuff I discovered in general, you know. I don't know anything else.
No.
I'll send it to you, you know, you can... There's a lot of little things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, we're really interested in that that supernatural force that's in there.
Well, they said I don't know much about it, but one of the guys on the radio mentioned a ley line, you know what I mean? And their forces they converge at certain areas, and Oliphant is exactly north of Washington. Exactly north of Washington, D.C.
Right, where I'll bet you it's exactly north of the Pentagon, isn't it?
I don't know, but it's worse.
I'll bet you it lays right out. I'll
yeah,
bet
probably.
You if you checked it out, you... Because now the Pentagon, you know, that's another coded place, you know?
Yeah.
That whole thing is done on sacred geometry as well.
You know, and you're right. I think that the ley lines, I wouldn't doubt, converge right there at
some form of forces of energy. You know,
because you know all your you know, like the crop circles that are appearing,
yeah.
They all appear on ley lines. All the sacred temples, you know, Stonehenge and all those places,
yeah.
They're all built on these ley lines. And then a lot of your churches, you know, the older churches are built on those ley lines. And then, of course, you've got, well, look at Oliphant, you know, the churches, you know, right there. Yeah.
Well, here's something unusual. I used to call it the radio when I made a discovery, you know. They didn't believe it half the things I told them.
Yeah.
But now at least it's on the internet. They can see it, you know.
Yeah.
One day I called a radio announcer, you know, talk show. I said, I just discovered a Stonehenge in Oliphant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's laughing his head off. He says, where is it? And I said, it's down in the middle of downtown Scranton. It's downtown Oliphant. And you know what it is? I noticed one of the churches, St. Patch, which is one of the churches in the Ryan pattern.
Uh-huh.
You'll see it. Has the dome is circular. And has little windows, and there's a windows, and there's a opening and closing, just like Stonehenge, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I didn't think it was Stonehenge then, but I asked the priest, there was St. Patrick, he was blessed in the warriors, there's three warriors with three shields, the three circles again, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I asked the priest about, he said, St. Patrick, there's blessed in the Druid warriors, but the Druids worshipped them under Stonehenge. So I connected it to it. I think it's a modern symbol of Stonehenge. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. That also goes back to your Scottish Rites.
Yes.
St. Patrick goes back to Scottish Rites. Scottish Rites is your Masonic temple.
Yeah.
And that goes right, and that is, and that takes you right to Solomon Temple.
Yeah. They're all connected. All this knowledge is, it's universal. It's up there. My, Frank, who's like the director,
so now that St. Pat's, is that the larger church?
Well, they're all pretty. I think that's one of the largest, yeah. No, it's one of the largest, yeah.
I would like to know what the dimensions are of that, church.
I try to get a surveyor on it, you know what I mean? They don't want to come. This guy's an archaeologist, too. And they told him about Oliphant. I showed him on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And he says, we want to come and survey. Maybe you learn something, you know. You might discover. But they're not interested. They want to make money. That's
well, if you listen to my show that I did with Jonathan Gray, he's an archaeologist, and he said that it's not in the benefit of the archaeologists to discover these things because they lose their grants.
Yeah.
You know, they're actually paid to discourage this type of information. They don't want people to know about these ancient civilizations and the lost knowledge.
Well, who discourages them like that?
The archaeological department, so I imagine would be backed by the church.
They just don't believe in this stuff.
Well, no, it's not that. It's a major cover-up. I mean, first of all, you know, it would be by admitting that they were wrong. I mean, come on, what would happen?
That's right,
you know, I mean,
no, yeah, I was thinking about that.
Of course, you'd have to change your history books, and look how it would affect the churches. You know,
yeah.
It would show that their teaching has been wrong all these years.
Yeah.
And then
well, some of it's wrong, some of it's right. You know what I mean? It's not perfect. You know what I mean?
No, it's not perfect. And if you know how to read the Bible. You know, the Bible has a lot of truth in it. You know, all of it is true in the Bible. But the thing is, we've never been taught to read it properly.
No, we don't know. You can interpret them a lot of ways. Here's something I discovered about the Adam and Eve. I claim they're the first humans. Because it's you have the Neanderthal man and the Cro-Magnon man.
Uh-huh.
The people, the anthropologists who discover this,
uh-huh.
They claim that they walk on 2 feet and they make tools, you know, things like that. They're human. They're not human, but, you know, I claim they're not human. The definition of human is a certain amount of light. That's why when these people are abducted by the aliens, one of the things they do is measure them for the amount of light you have.
Yeah.
And I claim that that's your
soul.
No, that's the amount. That's your evolutionary status.
Yeah.
The more light you have, the higher up you are. Like Christ is a pure.
So, in other words, the less carbonized you are.
That's
the,
right.
The more pure, the carbon is turning, or the coal is turning to a diamond.
Yeah, and it's a, that's, so Adam and Eve
crystallized.
Put in the Garden of Eden, just a special section, and they were higher beings because they had more light. They gave off more light. See, and that's what we derived from them. They might have made, they have a question who they made it with. But there was other animals, you know, other human beings, beings around, you know what I mean?
Some, well,
they're like Cro-Magnon man and Neanderthal. I claimed they're animals.
Yeah, well, I'm still not convinced about, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible, all that is the history of the Hebrew, because we can take, well, for one thing, I have evidence to show that the Australian Aborigine, or Pygmy,
yeah,
were living here in the United States 27,000 years ago.
Yeah,
and that there was a thriving culture. And if you take back the Lemurians, they were a very high advanced civilization and much higher advanced than we are today.
Yeah.
And so,
there
and we've got evidence showing that we can trace man back millions of years now.
Yeah.
And not, a Neanderthal type man, but a highly advanced man that was actually using flight, you know, airplanes.
Yeah, but they might have went through the same process as we're going through, like a Garden of Eden. God gives them a chance to, shortcut into heaven or something, have a paradise, and they failed too.
Or they crystallized somehow.
Yeah, they might have reached.
Yeah, or maybe they reached some sort of an. So they became so advanced that that they was able to go on.
Yeah.
You know, into step through the veil into more of a. Like you said, a more higher element than carbon, you know.
Yeah. Well, reality is like we're in this dimension that we see the visible spectrum, you know, the light spectrum.
Yeah.
It might be like a reality is made out of X-rays. Reality is made out of gamma rays, you know what I mean? Higher beings in the...
Well, I'm totally convinced from everyone that I've talked to that we have people walking among us that we don't even see.
No, yeah. Well, there could be like the souls that... Remember, my theory says there's two circles, right?
Yeah.
They intersect. Well, they're two different dimensions. They could be like two Earths, an Earth and a parallel Earth. I believe in the parallel theory, parallel universes.
Yeah, I do too.
So that, well, that... sort of proves it, you know, not proves it, but it's evidence that they're parallel universes. One circle rotates clockwise, you said, the other circle rotates counterclockwise.
Yeah. And somehow that doorway, if you get to that certain point, you can get through there somehow,
yeah,
and boom, we're right into a different world.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, my theory is just, I hope it just adds a little light to our knowledge, you know what I mean?
But like Einstein says, we're all occupying the same time and space.
Yeah.
In the time, in now.
Yeah.
In the time of now. So you have all your parallel universes all operating at the same time in the same space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, and then different worlds coming and going. Yeah. It's, I can kind of understand why they wrote the Bible the way they did. I mean, how could they explain to the people how all this worked?
Mm-hmm.
I think that each person individually has to become aware. You know, like how you're doing, you know, how you've become aware. It's a matter of individuality, you know, based on, you know, like what you said, the aliens are watching for, how you've evolved.
Yeah.
And the further you evolve, the more aware you become, the more aware you become, the more you see, the more you hear, the more images are presented to you, the more knowledge you're given.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree with that, more or less.
And, you know, like with you, you know, like Einstein, too, you know, you've all been given your, you're like a key bearer. You're all, you all find, you all have a certain key that unlocks the treasure. Who knows, maybe the treasure of Solomon, huh?
Yes.
The treasure of wisdom, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what it says, that Indian Proverbs, that you'll be given great wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's when my ideas, some of them are coalesced at that time, you know, around the beginning of the new century.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Frank said anything, but I'd definitely like to work with you guys on doing a documentary on Oliphant.
Yeah, you can, I think this would be pretty interesting, because, you know why? It might explain the Carbondale UFO.
Yeah, and there you go, too, the Carbondale, you know,
and,
there you go, Carbon.
Yeah,
you know?
Bob, yeah, and, well, I moved here that year, 1974, that was the incident, but I was interested in UFOs at the time, but I remember reading a little about it, you know what I mean? I should have went up there and checked it out, but I was interested in UFOs that much. And Frank went up there, but I talked to a lot of people about it in my research, and they always said it's a cover-up.
Well, see, the thing is, I think it all of it works together as one.
Yeah.
Your UFOs, your paranormal, you know, such as ghosts, the magic. You know, like what Houdini used, the interdimensional doorways. You know, so it's important that we, you know, listen to everyone and get as much information and then try to find the common denominators. You know, that's what I try to do anyhow.
Yeah.
I work with the common denominators.
Well, the Carbondale UFO, the fact that you might want to do a documentary, like you said, it'd be interesting, know why? Because we believe there's a door in Oliphant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And somehow, maybe the UFO was going through the door, and it wasn't going at the right speed or right direction, or, you know, the right angle.
Yeah.
And it ran out of control and landed in the Carbondale, in the pond in Carbondale.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying get him, but I found out one of the guys told me that he was playing football with nine other kids, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
They actually saw the UFO go land in the pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually seen it land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that might make a good documentary.
Well, we're definitely, I talked to Frank about that, we're definitely going to be doing a documentary on Carbondale.
Yeah, well, I'll put the information. I mean, I'll get it out to you next week.
Well, that's our show for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. This is Mary Sutherland, BUFO, Paranormal, and UFO Radio, www.burlingtonnews.net, saying, keep your eyes to the sky and your mind open to all possibilities. Have a great day.
Do you really know what's up? Have you seen the Anunnaki spacecraft or what? Swerve, turn it up, say that's the cut, and stay calm, cause they cool it up. Do you really know what's going on? You see the latest news on Infotron.com. Man, Infotron.com. Alright, Tron's in the mic, you know you have to scope this. At one in the universe, so the flow hits. Flash by the market, with the beats is low this. Blast this for the hypnotics, take a soul trip. Roll this, herb soul, we can toast split. My niggas come around the block, I'm the ferocious. No shit, play the music, soul, this is no hits. Don't forget, I'm actually digital bliss. Spaceships run the skyline, flow like this. Hovering, dance floors with a strobe light switch. The time, space, continue, you know some slight skips. Malcolm 46, so we're flying this. Flying right past us, and up them cliffs. They're going towards settings, maybe even side shifts. And looking like some of those Voltron clips, they come together and form a brothership. I never heard a beat so hit, a beat from my Anunnaki spaceship, accompanied by two silver discs, crashing in quick, the Zeta Reticulant, over Arizona, doing atmosphere skips. So soon we look up and have a paradigm shift. Listen to me flow, a galactic. You better take that trip. Remember this, you can't fist fight with the sun. You step up, mass feats and the grace of the crumbs. Believe me, son, OJ is the one to win the war. Before the first battle's been gone, rhyme similar to hydrogen, bomb blast. Where chemicals react fast, everything within 50 miles reduced to ash. But before the shock will hit, see it blinded by the flash. Make a dream succeed, a risk, geez. Bangkok, Switzerland, call that Swiss cheese. Check how words flow so swift, seize. Tightest rhyme that I wrote in the centuries. They cross the Red Sea, dimension V. Looking up at the same crash that was sent to me. Whatever happens on Earth is meant to be. Everybody's been gonna find out eventually. But most will look up in disbelief and never seen a spacecraft hover over a street, let alone the light beam from the Palladium fleet that only has to blink once to wipe out Miami Beach in a Saturn trip. I tell you each, they use my net, no need for speech. I puff herb like cheats, I learn as I teach it through my songs, infinite universes reach. Do you really know what's up? Have you seen the Anunnaki spacecrafts or what? Swerve, turn it up, say that's the cut, and stay calm, cause they cool with us. Do you really know what's going on? You see the latest news on Infotron.com. Man, Infotron.com, AKA Galacticon. See, I never heard a bee so here, a bee dash for my Anunnaki spaceship. A coming to me by two silver discs, specially equipped with Zeta Reticulans. Over this planet, moon, atmosphere skips, so you can look up. We have a paradigm shift. Listen to me flow, a galactic. We suggest you better take that trip. Yeah.